It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to begin reading with the fourth chapter, verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address, Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That would be parkviewbiblechurch.org. And love for you to visit. We've got many studies up there of the precious Scripture. And I hope that you would enjoy it, grow from it, come to know the Lord Jesus through it. And if you'd like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either would be just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to read to the end of the chapter, and so please that you follow along, and if you can't follow along, just listen carefully. Matthew chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, for I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on there on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And they followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Always have some trouble with those words, and so I just ask for your that you will able to read along with me so that you can see the precious word. Let's begin with prayer now. Father, thank you that we can come today, enjoy this wonderful study as we close out the fourth chapter and get on into the fifth chapter and the Beatitudes. It's wonderful, Father, to study your precious word. So guide and lead us now each and every day. Guide and lead us through your precious word. It's so important, Father, to learn your way and will. Just give us the strength we need each and every day, Father. So wonderful to be able to open the precious word. Now guide and lead us through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's so wonderful to look to the Word of God, and as we see this 18th chapter, we find that we are about to start building up our disciples, and so the number. And so let's go back first before we even get started here, and we're going to look back in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1, verse 35. And so we'll begin there, and we're going to read all the way to the 49th verse. And so just kind of listen to this, and we're going to find that maybe part of the schedule just a little bit here as far as what's going on. So we're going to start here now with verse 35 in John chapter 1. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said to them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first, finding his own brother Simon, said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee, find Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, and the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Going all the way to the 49th verse. And Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now, we have the beginning there, and we have an opportunity to kind of take a look at it, and so we'll do just that now and enjoy that wonderful part. The joy of the Gospel of John, we find that when we look here in Matthew chapter 18, that when he calls them, and Jesus walking, I'm back to chapter 4, verse 18 in the book of Matthew, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting nets, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now we find if we go back now and to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it finds that they do some questioning, but it does not say that the question, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That is not in the Gospel of John. So it would appear that Jesus met them first here in John, and then he knew them, was aware of them. And if you'll remember here in verse 42, thou art Simon, the son of Jonas, which is called Cephas, and being interpreted the stone. And so, and we know that that was Peter. Now here it says, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So it would appear that in the Gospel of John, that's the first time they met, and the actual calling came a little later here when he physically, actually calls them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, in that 19th verse. And the follow me is, Come ye after me, is really what that is saying. Come ye after me. And so to follow, what wonderful, precious words. But now, you know, before they met him, and I believed at that time, believed upon him, and now why we're coming and we're going one step further, we're going to serve. And so the first step is come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him, because he died on the cross for you. Now here, you know, Jesus had not completed that work yet. but he was preparing them, and you need to believe on the Lord Jesus. And they did. They believed that he is the Messiah. And so now we're going to find at the very end that after the crucifixion and the resurrection, you know, now I remember, now I know. There were so many things that just didn't make any sense at all. And so once it was in its fullness and finished, why, we know that was completed it. So it was wonderful, and I just wanted to read that in the Gospel of John to kind of prepare us for there. And so now we find that they're called, and so follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They straightway and left their nets and followed him. Now we'll come up here to verse 22, and we're going to visit about, it was Peter and Andrew in the first one here. And now we got James and John in the next section, and in verse 22, and they immediately left the ship. And so I think we need to learn some things there. In the Scripture, there were many excuses made for somebody that didn't serve or didn't think they had time to serve. And so we find here that in both cases, they literally dropped what they were doing and went about the Lord's business immediately. And what a beautiful example that we have there. And so let's back up once again, start with verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. What wonderful words and lessons for us. The call came forward. They were busy. And if you'll notice, if you want to be a servant of the Lord, be busy. Just be busy, because the Lord doesn't use lazy people. If you're sitting around and you're, you know, you spend more time on your computer and on Facebook and all these things instead of studying the Word, helping the brethren to grow, you know, serving at the local church level, and in some capacity, I guarantee you there's something that needs to be done. So now I think everything's being done. Well, then help somebody. You need to be serving. And if you sit back and you know, spend all your time with things of the world, you can't expect to be blessed, and you can't expect to have the power and the strength of the Lord. And God does not call someone that is lazy. Oh, they can be saved, but they're going to be just saved so as by fire. They're not going to have any blessings or any works to their credit. But as we look at these words, we enjoy these words, we find that every time God calls someone to service, it is someone that is busy. Busy. So please, busy yourself, and not with nonsense work. There's much to do. The fields are white unto harvest. It's time. And we need to get busy serving the Lord. And so we find that here now we have Peter and Andrew and James and John, also known as the Sons of Thunder. And so you may have heard that before. So we have these called, and we've read back here in the Gospel of John concerning a previous meeting there, especially with Andrew and Simon, Andrew and Peter. And so now we continue, and we're going on down, and we find that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sick and all manner of disease among the people. There was no question that this is the Messiah, that he is the Messiah. Look at what he is doing. We have here. And then it continues down the 24th verse, all the sick people, diverse diseases and torments, possessed with devils, lunatics, those that had palsy, he healed all them, the scripture says. What wonderful words to hear. He healed all them. The world could not contain the books if every time that Jesus healed someone, every time that he spoke, it could not be contained. We have very few examples of the healing power of our Lord Jesus. We are supposed to come to the Lord Jesus by faith, not by sight, by faith. I believe, without question, Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and by his death took my sin completely and totally away. Now, I still live in the flesh, but as far as God's concerned, according to the Word of God, and I believe it, that my sins are gone. They're as far as the east is from the west. What a wonderful promise. And then he's raised from the dead, gives me life, gives me wisdom and knowledge, gives me peace and joy, gives me the strength to be long-suffering. It's wonderful, just wonderful, to serve a living God, because he has risen from the dead and is at the right hand of the Father right now. What a joy. What a wonderful, wonderful joy to serve God. Now, please, I ask you that you accept Jesus as your Savior. You have to accept him before you can begin to walk with him. But in this 23rd and 24th verse, we find thousands of people were healed. And the reason for it is to prove without a shadow of a doubt that he is God. He is the Messiah. No one could perform such miracles. No one can do what the Lord Jesus was doing. No one. It was without doubt. And yet they continued to make excuses and reject and not believe him for salvation. But let's just look at that. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What was to come? His kingdom has come. I am here. You need to come by faith to me and be born again, because I'm going to die on the tree. And I'm going to be raised 3 days later. All these things took place. All his words were fulfilled. Every single word. So please understand, when we look at this, there was one purpose in his healing. And that is that he had mercy. But the big reason was to show that he was God. No other man. No other living being can do what our Lord Jesus was doing. No one. Preaching the gospel, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Every single one. Every single one. Maybe you've got cancer. Maybe you've had cancer. I've had cancer. It's something that you know that is in your system. Is it going to return? Probably. But Jesus healed them. He healed them of their sickness. He healed them of their disease. Now, the doctors, they removed this part and that part, and hopefully they've gotten all the cancer. If not, why, it means some chemo or some sort of treatment to kill those cancer cells so that you can live a little bit longer. There was no side effects from Jesus' healing. There was no medicine to be taken afterwards. They were completely and totally healed. What a day. What a day. And his fame went out throughout all Syria and brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. And see, we find here the diseases and the torments and the possessors of the devil and those that were just plain crazy. He took them all, and he healed them all. Wouldn't it be something when the husband or the wife or one of your children was possessed, you know, adult children was possessed with demons, and they came in contact with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus took them away. And all of a sudden, one that would cut himself and would tear his clothes off. And, you know, we have demons today, and we have many of them. That's the only excuse that can be given for the way mankind lives today, what they do and what they say and their actions. Demons, the desire to have drugs and use drugs, demons. Alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, everything, demons. There's one word for it, and it's demon possession. And the only way that you can have victory is to come by faith to Jesus and be born again. And those demons will flee from you. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus and get the victory. Get the victory over alcoholism. Get the victory over the drugs. Get the victory. Will you have to pay the consequences with your health because of the alcohol or the tobacco or the drugs? Yes, you will, because you've destroyed your body. But you can be healed spiritually. You can be made whole spiritually because you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And he will give you the strength and the power and the wisdom to walk each day. And so I ask you that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, please. And just look at that. It says throughout all of Syria. And as we look at all of Syria is from Asia Minor all the way over to Arabia. What an area. What a section. What a part there. And then we find that as the rest of it here, why we have the verse 25, and followed him, and there followed him great multitudes of people, and they followed from Galilee, they followed from Decapolis. And Decapolis is actually the only definition. It means 10 cities. There's quite a discussion or question as far as the area that includes. We're not sure of that, but we do know that it is. It says 10 cities, Decapolis. They followed him, great multitudes, big, large multitudes. And from Jerusalem, they came from Jerusalem. Even though there was many there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not follow, did not want to. We know that Nicodemus did, and we know that others, according to this, because it says great multitudes, and from Judah, and from beyond Jordan. What an area that it includes there, that they followed after the Lord Jesus. Now, the problem is, there's a difference between following and believing. There's a great difference between those two. And I'm afraid today that we have many followers of the Lord Jesus. They believe that Jesus lived and died. They believe that God the Father, they believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You say, well, if you believe all that, well, the problem is that they're followers. And there must be a time, in your life when you recognize that you are a lost sinner. And you say, well, I've always believed that, and I've always believed in Jesus. That's not good enough. I said, well, how can you say that, or what right do you have to say that that's not enough? Because the Word of God tells us that you must be born again. You just can't always say, believe. I've always believed that. No. There's a day. There's a time when you fall down on your knees. Now, maybe that's literal, maybe it's not. But you humble yourself because you recognize who you are. You're a lost sinner. Oh, my filth and my sin. And how can anyone save me? And yet the same Spirit that shows you your sin is this very same Spirit that comes right into your heart and says, here is Jesus. Accept Him. The problem is He doesn't come into your heart. He comes to you, and you recognize your sin, and you call upon Him, and then the Holy Spirit will come into your heart and to save you. And He will. And then He seals you and keeps you for eternity. It's so important that you're not just a follower. We have multitudes following, and yet when we move ourselves forward to the crucifixion, there's few, very few. And the Scripture makes it very clear that of believers, there's just a remnant, just a small remnant. There's a small remnant of believers when it came to the Jews, and there's a small remnant of true believers when it comes to the church, and that's where we're at right now, the church age. So I ask that you will consider this, that it's not enough to be a church member. It's not enough just to say you believe when you cannot go back to a time when the Holy Spirit convicted your heart of your sin and you clearly knew you were a sinner and you were lost and you have to trust in the Lord Jesus or you're going to go to hell. And that's what that Holy Spirit's going to show you. Now, if you've not experienced that, I ask today that you will look to the Word of God, you'll read this precious text that we're in today in Matthew. Maybe you'll go back to Romans and read Romans chapter 3, and then Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13. Read those verses of Scripture and many more, because it will confirm, it will show you exactly the condition that you're in. The Word of God will penetrate your heart with the means and the driving force of the Holy Spirit. Trust in Him today, call upon Him today, and be born again. As we're going to find that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. He came to Jesus by night, and he said, I know you're a teacher sent from God. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. There's not a church around here that wouldn't love to have Nicodemus before he was saved, because he tithe, and his tithe was not 10%, his tithe was probably 30%. His service, he was dedicated, he served, and yet he was not born again. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to come. And again, multitudes, great multitudes followed, but very few trusted in the Lord Jesus. We've gathered up some disciples. We found Peter and Andrew, and we found James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and we found the great healing power of the Lord Jesus. and we found great multitudes following. And then when we begin here in the fifth chapter next time, we're going to begin to learn some things about a believer. So, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?